The gospel for today is from, it's an alternative gospel that I picked from the same gospel that we're in this year, Matthew. It's from chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable now in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the church I served as interim pastor two churches ago, a man had stopped by the church wanting to see the pastor. He was looking for a little help at the time. Part of the story he told me is that he'd come back to the Twin Cities to help out his sister and his mother. Apparently, he said his sister had been physically abused by her boyfriend, the same boyfriend that she'd had a child by. And he said that his mother, in her attempts to help out her daughter and deal with the boyfriend, had landed in the hospital. It was not a good situation. The man had come back to the Twin Cities from out of state, he said, to deal with that boyfriend. He claimed he wasn't a violent man, but he said that when it comes to family, you've got to defend your family. Fortunately, for everyone's sake, by the time he arrived here, that boyfriend was nowhere to be found. On a number of occasions, I've attended the Festival of Homiletics. What's that? It's a preaching conference, and it's been held here in Minneapolis every few years. When I've gone to that conference, I've made it a point to hear Methodist pastor, theologian, former bishop, and well-known preacher Will Willimon. Willimon is now back at Duke University as the professor. He's semi-retired. His title is the Professor of the Practice of Christian Ministry. Some years ago at that preaching conference, he said this. He said, "I think I've been a decent father and a more than adequate husband." To which he then added, "But Jesus doesn't give a rip about the family." Ugh. What he meant was the true sense that in the first century, Jesus actually split apart some families based on who followed his call to be his disciples and who didn't. In baptism, Willimon continued, we become part of a family that Jesus actually cares about. Ouch, I don't like to hear that. Like for most of us, whatever your family looks like, however you define family, my family is really important to me. And that kind of more immediate family would include my wife, Catherine, our three sons, our daughter-in-law, my mother, who's 90, like I said, mostly confined to her apartment, will stop by with a mask this afternoon and wish her happy Mother's Day outside the entrance to her building. It includes my sister and brother-in-law, my two nieces, my one niece's wife. They are really important to me. We had to cancel our trip to Milwaukee at the end of March that was planned to see my oldest son and his wife and our three granddaughters. I don't know when I'm going to get to see those three granddaughters again in person. Doesn't Jesus care about my definition of family and yours? Isn't this definition of family actually God's priority? Consider how many sermons and how many sermon series are preached in churches about strengthening Christian marriage, about being better husbands and wives, almost exclusively heterosexual marriage in these churches, about biblical principles of good parenting and how to have that Jedi Christian family. Will Willimon must be way off base. Isn't our American definition of family, especially the traditional version of mom, dad, and the kids, maybe with a few extended family members thrown in, isn't that the apple of God's eye? Shouldn't this family be the central focus of the Christian message? Well, you make the call. There used to be a thing in sports, you make the call. Play at the plate. Contrast this to what Jesus says in Matthew 12. You can also find it in Mark's gospel. Jesus' mother and siblings have come calling for him. And he says, who is my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Wow, happy Mother's Day, Mary. Matthew continues, and pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. That's really broadening and redefining the whole concept of family, isn't it? Jesus draws the family circle much bigger than we do. And it's not easy to grasp this. It's not even easy to hear it in a culture, or at least within a certain Christian culture, that elevates the definition of family almost to that of an icon. An icon is an object of uncritical devotion. Maybe sometimes we could even say we elevate it to the level of an idol. You know, I believe in marriage, including same-gender marriage. And I believe in the importance of my family and of yours. And I believe that relatively healthy and functional beats the heck out of very dysfunctional and very unhealthy when it comes to our families. Of course, we don't get to pick the families that we are raised in. We get what we get, for better or for worse. I also believe that Jesus believes that our own families are important. I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't. Whatever they look like. Jesus spoke of the sacredness of the marital union to those who sought to legalistically undermine it in Jesus' day, usually at the expense of women. In other words, men would initiate divorce, which resulted in victimizing women. But Jesus declares that the kingdom of God, or the reign of God, to put it another way, is much bigger than what we usually call and treasure as family. Love and allegiance to Christ and the values and ways of God's kingdom ultimately surpass even love and allegiance to those we call family. As difficult as that is for us to get our heads around, kind of hard to imagine one pitted against the other, I think, for most of us. But there have been times, there still are times, where that has been the case. The Holy Spirit calls and gathers us through the waters of baptism into this body, this family of human beings we call the church. We are part of a family of disciples who follow Jesus, or who follow in the way of Jesus. And as we live into the kingdom of God, we become aware that this family is really important. Hopefully, this bigger family includes our own families, but it's way bigger. Just like we don't get to pick the families we grow up in, we don't get to pick who's part of our family of faith. We don't get to pick who's part of our local family of faith, our Savior's Lutheran Church. It includes those who are very similar to us and those who are very different from us. It includes those we like and those we may not like so much. It includes those whose personalities sync with ours and those with whom we may clash. And yet the same Spirit calls and gathers us into this very human family we call the church. We are drawn together by something actually much greater than just our own church shopping that we may have done and decided to pick our Savior's Lutheran Church. The Spirit is at work through word and through sacrament to knit us together in this larger family. But this family is actually way bigger than our Savior's. It includes the 150 congregations of our Minneapolis Area Synod of the ELCA. It includes the ELCA, our national church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It includes our Lutheran family throughout the world, but it's way bigger than Lutherans, right? It includes Christians throughout the United States and the world of all different types and stripes. Churches from Roman Catholic and Episcopalian to Baptist and Assembly of God, all who profess faith in Christ, all who gather together, physically or virtually, in the name of Christ, all who seek to follow Jesus or follow in the way of Jesus. But remember, Jesus draws the circle of family way bigger than we do. Whoever does the will of God, Jesus says, is my brother and sister and mother. To me, that sounds like everybody who works to bring about the kingdom of God or the reign of God, we can consider family. Not just those who call themselves Christian who may wear the Christian label. What about our Jewish cousins as they seek to do God's will? Or our Muslim cousins who seek to do the same. Remember, Jews, Muslims, Christians all trace common spiritual roots to Abraham. What about those of yet other faiths or other religions? What about our agnostic or atheist friends who don't believe in God? I mean, if you don't believe in God or really not sure, you really wouldn't be seeking to do God's will. Would you? But what if you're loving your neighbor as yourself? What if you're seeking to care for the least of these, as Jesus says? What if you're working for justice, caring for the planet? Maybe you're doing God's will, even if you don't believe or think you believe in God. No, let me be clear. Jesus isn't against my family or yours. I'm pretty sure he loved his own family. In John's gospel, he's even making arrangements to take care of his mother Mary, to have one of the disciples take care of her as he's hanging on the cross and dying. But Jesus is all about the kingdom of God, the reign of God. As he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus draws this circle of family way bigger than we tend to. It seems to include everyone who seeks to do God's will here and now. How big do we dare to draw that circle? Amen. And happy Mother's Day.